It's All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Sean Carlson.
If you have questions or need to report an issue.
It's Thursday, which means it's time for On the Way, our weekly segment on All Things Considered, breaking down the week's transit news. Joining us, WNYC's transportation reporter Stephen Nesson and editor Clayton Guza. Okay, Stephen, you've covered Governor Hochul's crackdown on crime in the subways, and most of the conversation has centered on her deploying the National Guard to some busy stations. But she does have another initiative that's been a bit overlooked in all of this, sending more mental health teams into the subways. What can you tell us about it?
Well, what she wants to do is expand a pilot program called SCOUT, the Subway Co-Response Outreach Initiative. And basically what it does is it pairs one mental health clinician with two or three MTA police officers, and they're seeking out the most distressed or troubled, unsheltered people in the subway, people who can't take care of themselves and are maybe causing harm to themselves by not getting treatment. And, you know, they try to get them into shelter or a hospital. This actually launched in the fall as a very small pilot with two teams. One group goes uptown, one group goes downtown. They work Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., it's not a lot of hours. And they don't just check in on homeless people and make contact and try to coax them into a shelter. They make a pretty fast determination if a person needs to be involuntarily sent to a hospital for a psychiatric evaluation. You know, other groups do this, but what they tell me makes this different or special is that the clinician with this SCOUT program will actually go with the person through the process, advocate for them into the hospital. The MTA says this maybe improves the chances of the person actually being helped, as opposed to just calling an ambulance and having them taken away. You know, there are some stats that we have on this so far. 45 people have voluntarily been placed in a shelter. 15 voluntarily went to the hospital for a mental health assessment, and 15 were involuntarily taken in for treatment, for an assessment. And nearly all those people ended up in a psychiatric inpatient admission at either Bellevue or Kings County Hospital.
Now, is it true you actually got a firsthand look at one of these scout teams making one of these involuntarily hospitalizations? What did you see?
So I went out with one of the clinicians, Amid Amdemelo. He's a 41-year-old clinician, and he's actually a trained nurse. He works for Department of Homeless Services, and he's a member of the SCOUT team. He was joined by three MTA police officers. He really led the charge. And at the Fulton Transit Center, there were sort of two stark examples of how this program works. They found one man who had a very strong smell. You could smell him like 15 feet away. They had a very brief chat, and they let him sort of hobble away.
Okay.
The next interaction was very different, and it happened very fast. They saw another man who was pacing in the corridor of the AC and the JZ. He had, you know, a long, disheveled gray beard. And they spoke briefly, and the man just starts shouting, "I'm going to the J train." And suddenly things just escalated. Three MTA police officers showed up and sort of got in the way. A bystander started shouting. The NYPD, who were at the station, suddenly showed up. And before you know it, nine police officers are surrounding this man.
Wow.
Finally, you know, they put on rubber gloves, handcuff him, take him outside, and actually put a spit hood over him. This is like a mesh hood that prevents him from spitting on the police officers surrounding him. And with me is someone I haven't even mentioned, is this man, Jeremy Fagelson. He works with the SCOUT program. He's been working on homeless issues in the city for decades, and he sort of explained to me what was happening in front of me.
This guy, you know, with the anger at this level, I think the indications are that we need a fuller assessment.
Can I ask, though, I mean, is the anger related to the sheer number of MTA police that surrounded him very quickly?
Yeah, we'll never know. But again, you know, you have to ask, you know, is that person better off if he walks away and spends the day lurching around the subway system, or is he better off if we spend a little more time with him and try and get him to help?
Wow. What happened to him?
In the end, he was taken to Bellevue Hospital due to medical privacy issues. We don't know exactly what happened, but this is the program Hochul wants to expand to 10 teams with $20 million.
It's interesting that you saw all of this go down at Fulton Center because the company in charge of retail there is trying to right now pull out of its lease with the MTA, and they say that it's because of crime and homelessness. They say it's out of control. So, Clayton, what is the latest there?
It's pretty interesting. Last month, Westfield, this mall giant, they run shopping centers across the U.S. and Europe, they said, we want to break our lease with the MTA. They came in as the tenant to manage all the vendors at Fulton Center when the station opened in 2014. It was a 20-year lease. They're halfway through it. They say, we want no more. So the MTA goes to court and sues them, says, no, 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 you have to stay. Now, what happens is interesting. Last week, Westfield files a counterclaim in court, and it lays out all these reasons for why they have grounds to break its lease. And they cite crime, and they say crime is out of control at Fulton Center. They say our vendors are leaving because they don't feel safe because their employees are harassed. They're arguing that the MTA isn't living up to its end of the lease because they're supposed to provide more security. They list off all these examples. They've published dozens of photos in federal court, in federal court filings that are very gruesome and grisly, that lay off all these examples. Now, you have to put this into context, right? This is also – there's a lot more going on here with Westfield. Mm. One, it's no secret that shopping malls and the industry therein across the U.S. is struggling.
Totally.
And also, Westfield has publicly said – as a corporate entity, that they plan to drastically pull back from its U.S. markets. So that's, you know, there's a business thing happening here. They're citing it as crime, but at the end of the day, they really want out of this. And it's been a big story all week since we reported this on Tuesday.
Yeah. A lot of people may remember Fulton Center opening in 2014. And when that happened, it was heralded as a huge milestone in the rebuilding of Lower Manhattan after 9/11. We should say, though, that construction was quite delayed. You covered it in this week's On the Way newsletter and say that may have been part of the problem?
Yeah, that's the other half of the legal filing. I mean, a lot of people might remember when this opened. There was a big push for this station. This is a Shelley Silver pet project, right? It was right in his backyard. But it opened in 2014. It was one of those classic MTA things. 7 years late, $600 million over budget. Like, how many times do we see an MTA project that fits that bill? Uh-huh. But the legal filings shine a light in how the MTA may have kind of rushed the opening. And essentially, Westfield is accusing the MTA of being a bad landlord. They're saying construction wasn't done on the station when they opened it for Showtime, mm-hmm. when they cut the ribbon. It'd be tantamount to you signing a lease on an apartment and they're still putting up drywall. Mm-hmm. They said that there was a foot of concrete that wasn't yet poured. They didn't install service elevators that they said they were going to install, bathrooms that were just for employees of these vendors that they said they were going to put in, like they promised. They file a lawsuit over this saying we want back rent in 2018. Went to court, ends up in arbitration. The arbitrator eventually said, hey, you have to pay $13 million. That's still stuck in judgment. And it ultimately led to this situation where they're fighting to get out. So there's a lot going on here that we've uncovered.
Mm-hmm. All right. Every week we answer a question from a curious commuter. This one is going to fire people up. So get ready for this, right? This week's question is from Neil in Brooklyn, who asks, will there ever be a train to Red Hook? What's the deal?
The MTA actually considered extending the W train to Red Hook in its 20-year needs assessment that came out last year. And the document basically found, unfortunately for commuters like Neil, the project scored low in nearly every category. Mm. First of all, the MTA estimated only 7,600 daily riders would use this extension, which is pretty small on the MTA scale. For comparison, extending the 2nd Avenue subway across 125th Street from Lexington to Broadway would be used by 239,700 daily riders. Mm. And cost-wise, the W train would cost $11 billion, while that 2nd Avenue extension, a mere $7.5 billion. Also, technically speaking, it would be very difficult. The MTA would have to break through the cast iron lining of the tube that's currently used by the R and the W trains. In addition, the MTA doesn't want to get in the way of future construction on the BQE. And not to mention land acquisition, the MTA doesn't own a third of the land it would need to build on for that W train extension. So acquiring real estate is always a very costly thing. Mm-hmm. In other words, don't hold your breath for a train to Red Hook.
That's transportation reporter Stephen Nesson and editor Clayton Guza. You can stay in the know on all things transit or ask a question of your own by signing up for our weekly newsletter at gothamist.com/on the way. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.